lovely to see everybody back.
I owe you some hesber on the Gemara and the Tapir Yamid. Vilma Yisrael Mumashani, I said I would come back to. So let's just remember again. Gemara says the guy is Yerush Yisaviv. And the Gemara and the Havamina brought a raya that a guy is Yerush Yisaviv from Esav. Yerush on the Esav, the Sati Yisar Seir. So the Gemara said it's no raya, Dilma Yisrael Mumashani. Maybe the reason that Esav has Yerusha is because Esav is Yisrael Mumer, and Yisrael Mumer is different. Now, before we get into whether Esav was Yisrael Mumer, just pshat in the Gemara, which Yerusha la Esav are we talking about here? What? Harseir. Very good. Harseir, but who? Esav being the Yerush or the Mayrish? Right. The way I would have understood the Gemara was that I said, is Yarshin Tarseir from, it would have been vice as part of Eretz Yisrael that was promised to Avram, and from Avram to Yitzchak, and now into Esav. That's how I would have learned the Gemara. That it went from Avram to Yitzchak, Avram by the Brisbane of Sarin, at some level of Kinyan in all of Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says. And the Mela, it would have been Eretz Yisrael. But Yerushalayim Esav Nasati is Harseir. Esav was bought off, so to speak, with Harseir, which is on the boundary of southern Eretz Yisrael. So he was bought off with Harseir. That's how I would have learned to go. Yeah, but it's not clear. Hashem is commanding that it be given. Does that mean? It could be that which I gave Avram, I'm now commanding that it be given Nova to Esav. Gemara can be touched either way. But as you pointed out last week, the Rishash learns the other way. Not the way I learned. The Rishash learns that Esav is the Mayrish. That Esav gets Harseir, and he's Mayrish it in turn to his children. So if that's true, the question is, how are his children Jews? Yisrael Momer, the way I learned in Pashit. So the way I touch Yerusha le'Esav is very good. The way the Rishash is touching is, I gave this to Esav, and it will be his Yerusha to pass on to his kids. What does it say there? Lo Yerusha le'Bona. Lo Yerusha le'Bona. So Yerusha le'Esav, that means I gave it to Esav, he should have Yerusha to pass on.
Right.
Rashi and Nazir may not be Rashi, but okay. It's El Chayid, Mistam. The Rishash learns that it means Esav is Mayrish to his children. The Mela, the Rishash is bothered by the Kasha that, alright, maybe Esav is Jewish. It's a Chiddush, Yisrael Mamaru. But his kids are Jewish. How are his kids Jewish? Who did he marry? Whether being a Yid goes after the mother, not the father. So Yerusha le'Esav, if it was Esav being Mayrish, who was he Mayrish to? So the Rishash says, must be that before Esav married these women, whoever he married he was Megaya, the women who he married. You know, Esav wanted to find favor in the eyes of his father. So he was Megayer his wives before he married them. So Vimela, his children, were Yisrael Mumer. That's the Gemara saying.
Isn't there an hope that Esav was B'nai Nayach, B'nai Esav? If so, then it wouldn't matter what the mother was, the children were
Yisrael. If it's B'nai Nayach, then it wouldn't be good. Gemara Vidilmi Yisrael B'Mishani wants to say, Esav's really B'nai Nayach have no Yerusha. That's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara ends up they do. But the Gemara says, Dilma Yisrael B'Mishani, the Gemara says, maybe B'nai Nayach have no Yerusha. You want to bring a right to have Yerusha from Esav. Maybe Esav is different than Yisrael Mumer. So therefore, for this reason, the Rishash says that Esav was Megayer his wives. Now, that Rishash is shver for a number of reasons. Rav Moshe asks on the Rishash that we know that Kabbalah's mitzvah is ma'akiv in Geirus. Kabbalah's mitzvah is ma'akiv in Geirus. What kind of Kabbalah's mitzvahs did Esav's wives have? Is Geirus wives? What would it be Kabbalah to be, give Maisa from Melach? What? And what about the other mitzvahs? Okay, maybe right. But this Rav Moshe asked, this advice in Tzarchim. Rav Moshe asked, what kind of Kabbalah's mitzvahs were there? Was there? You need a Kabbalah's mitzvahs. And it's not Mestaver. Esav was Sayre Tzayach and Nayef and Aganev. So his wives, Rashi Chumash says his wives are no better than him. Rashi says that he didn't leave his clothing in his house because he's afraid his wives would steal it. By his mother. And so Rivka had his thing. So what kind of Kabbalah's mitzvahs was there? So Ramesh lies in the Tzarachim on this Rishash. It also seems a little strange for a second reason. It would come out if he was a guy or his wives, that means his daughters were Jews. Anybody who's Basach or Bas to Mesov is a Jew out Hayyim, it would turn out. No? He was a guy, so that means his daughters, his sons and daughters were both Jewish. His sons might have married Gaia. But his daughters and daughters and daughters all the way down. In Edom there would be a whole group of Yidden mixed in. There would be Kavua Kamechta Amechta, maybe. I mean, it could be Nikr Bim Kaima, at least for many generations. It would be Kavua Kamechta Amechta. We have to be Chayshish that all of the Edomim are Jews. The whole thing is so far fetched. It just sounds very strange. Well, generally, the halacha Kabbalah's mitzvahs means all the mitzvahs, and that's why even if it's even a mitzvah achas that he doesn't want to get, that guy leaves out is not a get. So this is a difficulty with the Rishash. The only way out I would see is, I prefer to learn my way just because I'm biased. That's the way I understood the Gemara. That it means that it was Yerusha from Avraham to Yitzhak to Esav. It was Yerusha le'Esav. Otherwise, it was given to Esav to be Meirish. No, if he didn't have any Jewish kids, he wasn't Meirish. But it was given to him to be Meirish, maybe. So this is one problem in this Gemara. Now there's a second issue, which is the issue of all the Shtiklach Torah on Shvatim. They were B'nai Nayach, they weren't B'nai Nayach. It's known that Mishlo Melech holds there was a machlokes between Yosef and the other Shvatim, if they had a din b'nei Yisrael, or if they didn't have a din b'nei Yisrael. That the 11th to 10 Shvatim has held that they were b'nei Yisrael, and Yosef held they were b'nei Nayach, and that's why I saw them eating Evim and Achai. So Mishnah Melech says that that Shechita is matir. Aver min achai for Yisrael. When you shecht an animal and it's still moving, for Yisrael, after shechita, if a piece of meat is cut off of it, it's not aver min achai. For ben nayach, before shechita was given, as long as the animal is still moving, it's still aver min achai. So the Mishnah Melech has the Shtiklach Torah that Yosef saw them eating what he held was aver min achai, because he held the ben nayach. Ben nayach, if you have meat that's cut off the animal after shechita, they held they're B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael, after Shechita, it's Matir. Shechita is Matir. So, not even Menachai. So, this is Mishnah Melech as a whole. There's more to it, but this is the part of it that I remember. The whole Shtikal Torah about how there was a Machlaikis, whether before Mount Torah, whether Avais, they were Yidden or they were not Yidden. In Mitzrayim, they were Yidden or they were, it says they're B'nai Yisrael or they're B'nai Nayach, who were children of Avraham Yitzhak and Yaakov. L'chayr is a Beferish Gemara here that they were Yisrael Momer. It says that that Esav was Yisrael. If Esav was Yisrael, certainly Yaakov and Reuven, Shimon, Levi were all Yisrael. So L'chayr is a Beferish Gemara, not like all the Shtiklach Torah that they all say. Problem is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Unches is mashma that Amram was a ben Nayach. The Gemara says that Amram married his aunt, and it must be that a ben Nayach is allowed to marry his father's sister. Yecheved was Kohath's sister. So it must be that you're allowed to marry your father's sister. So see, Amram married. It was the whole Shaka Vitari, the Sugya of Yecheved Mitzvah's ben Nayach. And the Ran in that Sugya says that b'nei Nayach are mechuyav in the mitzvah tzedakah, even though it's not one of the Sheva mitzvahs, says that mechuyav in the mitzvah tzedakah, because we see Avram got schar for giving tzedakah. So since Avram got schar for giving tzedakah, it must be the mitzvah of tzedakah. So Avram apparently is considered b'nei Nayach, not a ger. So the Ran is also mashma that the Avos, I could say Avram was different maybe, but the Pashas, his mashma, the Avos were all b'nei Nayach, which is the opposite of this Gemara. This Gemara, I shouldn't say it's mashma, this Gemara is pretty clear that it's Yisrael Momer. And there the Gemara, and certainly the Ran seems to say that the Avos had a different b'nei Nayach. I said, if you have two Gemaras already, you can say Shtekel Torah, you can have all the Shtekel Torah. But how do you resolve the apparent theory between the two Gemaras? So first of all, if it were up to me, I would have said, how would you answer our Gemara? If you have a Gemara that says that Esav is a Ben Nayach, how do you explain this Gemara? I would say this Gemara is only a Havamina. Gemara says, "B'nei Nayach have Yerusha. Yerusha lies in the Sadi Yisarsay." So Gemara Dilma Yisrael Mamishani. Maybe Yisrael Mam is different. Maybe Esav is Yisrael Mam. Gemara says, "No, there's a pasuk by B'nei Light. So Goyim do have Yerusha. So could be in the Maskot Esav is a Ben Nayach."
Really,
Yisrael Mam,
but
that's
why would the Yerusha?
Yeah, it's true that this is not Mashma. The Gemara doesn't say V'dilma Yisrael, V'dilma Esav Yisrael Mamahay. Gemara says V'dilma Yisrael Momeshan. It's Mashmash Pshit is Yisrael Momer. Dilma Yisrael Momeshan. Right? So Rabbi Chanan in Bava Basra, Ois Nun Dalit in the Kodesh Yerim, asked the Stira from Agamara to the Gemara Sanhedrin. He brings the Ran in Sanhedrin. Rabbi Chanan says that they have a din b'nei Yisrael. But what's taich ben Yisrael? What's the distinction between a ben Yisrael and a ben Nayach? Distinction is that Yisrael is mechuyev in tayach mitzvahs, and a ben Nayach is mechuyev in sheva mitzvahs. That's the basic distinction. All other differences are results of that. Mela, they are other dinim. But they're all a result of the tayach mitzvahs. So Yisrael has tayach mitzvahs, and a ben Nayach has zayin mitzvahs. He says the Shvatim in their generation were B'nai Yisrael, but they didn't have Tariag Mitzvahs yet. All they had was the Mitzvah Mila. They had the Sheva Mitzvahs plus Mila. Other Mitzvahs were not yet given to them. Shabbos wasn't given to them. Right? Or Arayas, Yisuri Arayas were not given to them. They were B'nai Yisrael. But Taich Ben Yisrael at that time was just Bris Mila, perhaps Kiran Noshe. And that's it. That's the taich of the Ben Yisrael, that generation. They didn't have the other mitzvahs yet. So, therefore, it's up to Rabbi Chanan, and the kashas aren't kashas. Our Gemara is saying it's Yisrael Mamre, it's true. That Gemara is saying, Lagabe, the mitzvah of marrying your aunt, he only had mitzvahs Ben Nayach, he wasn't Ben Yisrael yet. Avram gave tzedakah. He wasn't mechuyev yet. It wasn't given yet to Bnei Yisrael. So Mevela, he had a din of Yisrael, but he was mechuyev only in what? In mitzvahs Bnei Nayach plus Bris Mila. Now, if you're going to say he gave tzedakah, he got schar. So Mestam, he had the chiyev tzedakah. From where did he have the chiyev tzedakah? So the Rav says, must be Atsheva mitzvahs Bnei Nayach. But Rabbi Chanan is finding a middle ground. He's saying that Bnei Yisrael, the B'nai Yisrael, but they're not yet mechuyev in the mitzvahs of B'nai Yisrael. This is Rabbi Chanan's pshara, sort of pshara between the two shittas. It helps the Rishash, from Rav Moshe's Kasha. Rishash says that how was Esav, how did he marry these women? Rishash said that Esav is Megayah them. So Rav Moshe is the Kasha, Megayah them. They need Kabbalah's mitzvahs. They weren't the Kabbalah mitzvahs. And Rav Chanan saying, yeah, they need Kabbalah of which mitzvah? Bris Milah. Alright, so Bris Milah, especially the females, they could take the Bris Milah. It's no skin off their back. Pardon the expression. It's, you know, it's so they took Mrs. Milah, big deal, they'll be my other kids. So,
They
had anyway. They were Mechuyah B'nai Naich, Mitzvah Sani, Yas B'nai Naich anyway. They didn't Kabbalah, Mechuyah B'Karchem. So Rabbi Chanan's Pshara helps for the Mishash. However, Rabbi Chanan's Pshara does not help for the Mishul Melech. The Mishul Melech makes whole shtiklos Torah with Eva Menachai and Shechita. Shechita is certainly one that's over here. The whole shtiklos Torah about how did Avram keep Shabbos, right? Avram keeps Shabbos, he's Yisrael, he's a Ben Nayach, he's a Sufik. Right, you have a whole list of terutzim and writing what tzitzis. So if he's a guy who's carrying, and if he's Yisrael, it's not. Or all the other terutzim, where he did a lot at night, and he's a ben nayach, it's good. Right, you have a lot of terutzim. Avram was mesubi, he's ben nayach, and Yisrael. It doesn't shtim. But all these shtikla teira don't shtim. Rabbi Chanan's teretz is not an adequate pshat. It's a good pshat to enter the two gemaras, but it's not an adequate pshat to go to Mishnah. It was suggested that the Yisrael of Rav Naphtali, that we had numerous times, we had Ksuvis, and David, I mentioned it this year as well, and did something, the Chiluk of Yichas Yisrael, Kedushas Yisrael. Naphtali says that until Matan Torah, there are two parts of the year to a Yid, Yichas Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael. Magabi Dina Yichas. Yichus Yisrael started already by the others. And the others had a din Yichus Yisrael from before. Kedushas Yisrael, which is totally in all the mitzvahs, that they got at Har Sinai. So there are two parts to being a Yid. Yichus Yisrael, that they had from before. Any totally Yichus they had. Presumably Yerusha is a Yichus Digadin. It's totally in Yuchsin, family hands. So Yuchsin they had, family they had. Aye, the Gemara says that by Matan Torah they were like Erim. So there they were like Erim and Matan Torah, the Gabi Dinei, Kedushas Yisrael. That Kedusha, which is totally in the mitzvahs, so that they got an Har Sinai. So they have two parts to it, Yichus Yisrael, Kedushas Yisrael. What? So the Gemara says you're talking about mitzvahs they were machuyim later. You mean the Arayas that doesn't fit well with Tzedakah? The Gabi to say Tzedakah around, it wouldn't answer. It talks about a few, but the one I mentioned with Amram, I'll explain to you in a second. Rav Tolly's thing is based in part on the fact that it says after Matan Torah they were boichin l'mishpachay seyem. It says Christ will cry l'mishpachay seyem, al iskei mishpachay seyem shenasra lahem. That after Matan Torah they couldn't marry their relatives. Before Matan Torah, Bnei Nayach are allowed to marry many with close relatives. And after Matan Torah, they weren't allowed to. So they were upset about it. So much share on that. That if Matan Torah was Geirus, so Gershon is Geir, Kukat and Shanela Dami. So they had no relatives. They should have been joyful, all their relatives and their relatives. So according to Rav Tolly, it's good. Yichus Yisrael, they had. Relatives, they had. So Yichus Yisrael, they had. Kedushas Yisrael, that they that came late. You're asking from the Gemara, says about Amram marrying his aunt. It says aunt was related to him, he had Yichus Yisrael, but there was no Issa yet. Because that Issa was not yet yet. Akoponim, so basically what do we have? We have three Mahalchim. We have Rav Chanan's Mahalach, which is that they're B'nai Yisrael, but it's only the get to the mitzvahs they were given. We have Rav Naphtali's Mahalach, of Yichus Yisrael, Kedushas Yisrael. And then we have the Mishul Melech, who Taka considers them to be Safik Yisrael. I don't even consider them machlokes, that's what sugya is. I don't know, talk to them. But okay, I mean the Gemara changed something. The question is what changed in the Hamnita Maskan? You mean there's a Mashmois that there's some aspect of Benayach and some aspect of. Okay, good. Alright, so much for this this piece of Gemara. But again, it's a Beferish Gemara. I've shown it to people who've told me over the Shtikal Torah, and it depends when, but you know, to be a killjoy sometimes, tell me how Shtikal Torah that they were Goyim, they're not Goyim. And that's Beferish Gemara, people find it hard to believe. Beferish Gemara, it's a Yid. That's Beferish Gemara, and the Gemara you can't take away from. It's a Yid. Okay, we learned B'knei Vasei V'lei B'kfei Lei on Thursday. Let me return to that as well. Halfway down the page, Chadav and every nimka v'nishna v'tanya b'gnei vasei v'lei b'kfei lei b'gnei vasei v'lei b'zmamai b'gnei vasei kibish nika pavach v'shuvi at rishon l'maich, right? And we learned Amar Rav v'lei kashik am b'nei vachas kam b'shnei g'nevis am b'nei abay b'nei vasei tuva mash me'al am abay l'ei kashik kan ba'adam echad. If it's ba'adam echad, this is the one dintar, you can't sell him twice. Even the big nevis harbe, can't be shnevi neyadam. That if there are two people out against him, so each din he can be sold for. Then he is sold twice. So I mentioned to you the Chumash Rosh. The Rosh was dan whether somebody who owes money for a chayiv is sold as an eved ivri. And he says that we don't sell a person for an eved ivri for chayiv. Now that itself, I think all of us would know. But the Rosh really goes a step further. The Rosh says there's a din of misadrin lebal chayiv. Misadrin lebal chayiv means someone owes you money and you want him to pay. So you tell him, he says he has no money. So you tell him, you have no money, give me a car. Give me an apartment, give me your furniture. There's a little misadrin. Misadrin is, there's a certain say there of how much you're allowed to take away from a person to make him pay up his chayv. And the mashal, things he needs for his parnasa, you know, I'll take away from him. If he's a diamond merchant. So you can say, he owes me money, he's got plenty of diamonds, give me the diamonds. And if something he makes his parnasa from, you can't take it away, you can't take his livelihood away. You have to leave him with enough food for a week. If he has more than that, so you can take away from him. You have to leave him enough clothing, I think it says, for a month. There's certain things that you can take away from him, certain things you can't take away. That's misajim v'bachay. Someone owes you money, and he's not working. You tell Besen, he should have to go to work. He has no money. Taka truly has no money. I can't take anything away from him. Let him go to work. The Rosh Paskins, that we can't force him to go to work. That not only now Avadar writing is from to work, but Bezdin cannot be mechayev to go to work because b'gnevasai v'loy b'chayvai, and therefore we don't force him. Sounds outrageous. Me knows money. And we can't force him to go to work. But that's the psak of the Rosh, that's what you're passing. But you can't force them to go to work. What's a hesber? Huh? There's a kasa probably. Avadayei v'lay avadim l'avadim. That's what you mean. It's there's a kasa because they've asked like a chayvai or avadayei v'lay avadim l'avadim. So it sounds like I let him just work, not be an eved. I will sell it for an eved. Let him just work. How is that like not like the pasuk? The pasuk says you can't make a yid an evan. Evan means you force him to work. So let him not be an evan. Let him just go to work. But Vaisdarais, that if when he goes to work, we tell him, you must work, you can't quit. Because since you're a chayv, you must work. That's Eved. Vaisdarais together of Eved is that he must work, he can't quit. That's what it sounds like. An Eved is someone who cannot quit. And a Payal is someone who could quit. We have a klal that a Payal could quit b'chatzi yaymai. If he causes a hefsid, he has to make up the hefsid for the balabas. But they can't force him to work. The worker's allowed to quit. So Mimela, the din of a payel of a bachai that he can't force him to work. He can't force the work that he's going to have to work. There's one exception for parnasas ishtai. The Rosh brings from the Tshuvas Rabbeinu Eliyahu, one of the Rishayim. Tshuvas Rabbeinu Eliyahu forced someone to go to work, the Parnassas Ishtai. He had no Parnassas of his family. So he told him, for Parnassas Ishtai, you have to go to work. He signed a Ksuva. Ksuva says, I'm not Eflach. Eflach means I will work for you, to support you. And the Meila, if your wife has no parnasa, she has no mezainis. So the mezainis ishtai, the Rabbeinu Eliyahu paskin that you have to go to work. But the Rosh says that you shouldn't learn from Rabbeinu Eliyahu that any chayv you have to go to work. It's different. They signed the ksuba. You have to do avtiyuv ksuba. But anything else besides that, a person is not mechuyev to work for a chayv.
You sign it, you can pay somebody back.
What?
If you sign a
you can
pay somebody back.
If you write an Eflach, you mean? You just said you'll pay. If I have money, I'll pay. If I have money, I'm an honest. I mean, if you write an Eflach. Okay, I'll get to that in a second. Just to finish the Tshuvas Rosh. So Tshuvas Rosh says a payal doesn't have to work. So the Tshuvas Rabbeinu Eliyahu says that Mizayin Yisishtah, you do have to work. So the Ksuvi wrote an Eflach. And the Rosh brings that Rabbeinu Kam argued with this Rabbeinu Eliyahu. He said, Ano Eflach is not taich, I'll get a job. Ano Eflach means I'll work on the fields. If we have fields, I'll be chayresh and zareh. He says the word Eflach means to work a field. So if you have a field, he has to work the field. She brought in this same Maloga field, so he has to work it. The Eflach Ba'iker Ve'ezim Yisichi Kilchis Gavrin Yodan, and the Eflach means that I'll do the work. So Mimela Rabbeinu Tam holds even Mizaynus Ishtai you can't be Mechayim to work. Unless he has a field, he has to work the field, but more than that. So this is the Pesach of the Tshuva Sarash. So now there's a Nidain about a worker. We say a worker has a right to quit. The Beis Yosef is done. What about someone who signed a contract or any type of kinyan that he won't quit? Halacha allows you to quit. What happens if you sign the contract that you won't quit, that will show up? In such a situation, are you permitted to quit? So what would you say, Api Slara? Huh? You made a kinyan. I'm a liar, but you can't force me to work. No. You could force me to work. You can't force me. I recall that Masna Mashkaza B'Tayyim L'Chayim. The Torah says, Avadai Hemulai Avadim L'Avad. I would think logically that if you sign a contract that you won't back out, see, you're not supposed to back out, but you're entitled to. If you have a reason to back out, I don't think that you'd be allowed to back out. I'll be spot. How do we know that a pile could quit? But how do we know a pile could quit? How do we know that he could quit? Because Vice dies that even a pile who can't quit has at least an aspect of Avdus. He gave up his room. Alright, the Machta Ephraim says, like you were saying, the Machta Ephraim in the Hilchis Tzuras Payalim, from 7 days, argues that if a person obligates himself to not quit, to complete the job, so he created, he uses the lashon, created a chayv on himself, I don't want to use the lashon chayv, that he obligates himself and he cannot quit. And that's a very big chiddush, but he has a gevaldige raya from the Tshuva Sarash. What's the raya from the Tshuva Sarash? Huh? The Tshuva Sarash, what did he say? He said that Rabbi Eliyahu says that for Mizaynus Ishta you must work, because he signed the contract on Ma'aflach. He signed the ksuba. What's a ksuba? It's a contract. That's all it is. It's a contract that obligates you certain things. So it obligates a person. If I know Eflach means to work, it obligates you. So Ben Eliyahu said, you signed the contract, you're going to work, you must work. And he says, even Rabbeinu Tam, who argues with him, only argued because he argues in the taich of Eflach. He says, Eflach doesn't mean that. But vice versa, Rabbeinu Tam would be maida that if you signed the contract to work, that you can't back out. If it's something that changes later, it's not a toss. It's only if something he didn't know about has to sign, he can kind of a toss. The change later, the chayyim doesn't help. If I make a kinyan to with you, and the kinyan is out, so unless it was a toss, b'shas kinyan. But at any rate, the Machna Ephraim, the chayyim has a very strong raya from this tshuva of the Rush, that if you sign a contract, it's taka binding. It's taka binding contract. La halacha, we do not paskin this way. The Shach, Choshev Mishpat, the Mishin Lamed Gimel, Asif Katan Yud Dalit, I believe, says that a person who signs a contract that he's not going to back out, nevertheless, is allowed to back out. First of all, avodahim v'lay avodim l'avodim. And second of all, because it's a kinyan devarim. First parak above a barrister, we had the concept of kinyan devarim. Kinyan devarim means I can only make a kinyan on an item, on a thing. I could sell you a field, I could sell you an object. If I make a kinyan with you that I'm going to do something, it's not a kinyan. If I make a kinyan, I'm going to visit you next week. So it's not a kinyan. Unless it's a worker, a fula. Tchivas malach is a kinyan for malach. But a kinyan that I'm not going to back out, that's kinyan devarim. Not backing out, Shach argues that that's kinyan devarim. What? If he makes a shvuah, it'll be different. If he makes a shvuah, shvuah without a lashon shvuah, not a shvuah. Just give you my word. So I gave my word. I wasn't lying. B'shas ma'i said, I talk a plan to not back out. Today I'm backing you. What? And therefore what? The kinyan devarim means a kinyan. Kinyan devarim doesn't mean it's words and not a shtar. Kinyan devarim means it's a kinyan on devarim. You're kind of devarim. You can't be kind of devarim. You're being kind of my promise to not back out. You can't be kind of my promise. Not my promise. My pledge to not back out. As opposed to kinyan chayfetz. An object. Work, you know, it can be kind of work. What? Well, normally the work itself, there's a concept that you can't, that were not for Xerisakasa Vadahim Levan Chilas Malacha would be a kinyan that you can't back out. There's a concept that you could back out. So as far as the work is concerned, that kinyan is not binding. The only question is, now I made a kinyan that I will not back out. So I made a kinyan to not change my mind. So that's kinyan devarim. That's what the Shach says. The Ktzais argues on the second Nekudah. The Ktzais, he says it's not a kinyan devarim. Kinyan aguf, the chiddush. Even the Eved, we're not sure it's a kinyan aguf. He's saying a worker is a kinyan aguf. But anyway, Ktzais argues, he holds it's not a kinyan devarim, but he agrees, avodahim v'lay avodim l'avodim. that even if a person signed the contract to not back out, he's allowed to back out. But it goes without saying that it's not the right thing to do. The person gives his word. You're not supposed to back. These are shavas come up all the time. People sign contracts, and I once had a very difficult shavas. Someone had signed a contract with a camp, and then he was learning Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to stay. He wanted to stay there to learn. So technically, he had a right to back out. The question is, it's not the right thing to back out. But on the other hand, he wanted to stay Eretz Yisrael. So I sent him to ask the shaila. I think Reb Reuven Feinstein. I didn't know what he should do. I mean, technically, he's allowed to back out. It's not the right thing to do. On the other hand, here it was to stay in Israel. Reb Reuven told him not to back out. So he signed the contract, even though you're allowed to. The person can't force you. A word is a word. You gave your word. So avart is avart. So even though we're learning that you're allowed to back out, that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. There could be circumstances where it is the right thing. But I don't. Now this whole drasha, I think I mentioned on Thursday that the Rush learns is not like the Ritva. The Ritva learns Bignevase is only Mamayit, the three things that are mentioned in the Gemara. It's not Mamayit anything else. Stami's Maigav Alai B'chayvai, but I don't think he holds it there. Sakasov. That was the Nida. That's how the Rush really worked into the Gemara. there's one more Indian here. Let me mention to you briefly, because there's a big sichsuch in the Paiskim regarding there's a din chayshim mishpat. Let's say I owe you money for two chayvis. I owe you money. I borrowed money by pair. I borrowed money b'shtar. So you have a shtar on one of my chayvis, and you have a by pair chayv. Let's just make it easy. Let's say each one I borrowed $1,000 by pair, $1,000 b'shtar. I come to pay you. Which one would I rather pay? The pay b'shtar, right? So I come to you and I say, here's the $1,000 for the chayv b'shtar. It's paid up. So you go and you take the $1,000, and afterwards you tevei me with the shtar. I say, I paid that one already. So here everyone's honest. He's not lying. He's saying, I know you gave it to me. You said it's for the shtar, but I want to be mekabel the other $1,000 for the baal peh, and I still have a shtar on you. Shulchan Aruch says that you can do that. The malva could be mekabel for whichever chayv he wants. If I'm smart, I won't give it to you because you give me the shtar. I won't give it to you. But if I trusted you, so I gave you the $1,000, paid up the one b'shtar. The same thing, let's say I have two chayvis to you. One is an orif, is a guarantor, and one is no guarantor. So I want to pay up the one with the guarantor. You could take it from me, and once you take it, you could say I've taken this for the one, this without the guarantor. A person could be mekabel the money for whatever he wants. If you owe me money for two things, and you give me money, I could say, Hani Sitroi Nimi. Sitroi means this is for the other one. I'm taking this for the other chayv. Hitaka has a migul, but you only need a migul when we don't believe you. Right? Migul means I believe you. Yeah, I believe you. Nobody's dishonest. I agree, I borrowed twice $1,000, once for shtar, once for chayv. And you agree with me that I gave it to you to pay up the shtar one. You now want to come with the shtar and take away my karka and shul b'shtar. So now the migul is not going to do anything, because the migul is that you believed. I believe you that you meant to take it for the shtar, but you meant to take it for the baal peh. If I say I gave it for the shtar, which one counts? Well, the question is, which one counts? Do we go according to the das of the loiva who paid? Everyone agrees the loiva meant to give it for the shtar. The malva meant to take it for the baal peh. And what's the halacha? Okay, it's not a question of the manas. I agree that you took a finish there, and I agree I gave it for the baal peh. I said you go according to me. You said you go according to you. So chayshevish, but simon pei gimel. There's a halacha is. And you can take for whatever you want. The malva can take if two chayvus exist. Take for whatever you want. If once he received it, he agreed it's for the shtar. It's too late. So he paid up. So he's just quiet, and he takes it. And that's what he's thinking, so then he could take it. What? No, he was afraid he wouldn't get it. Moshe says, it's not a Hedah, because he was afraid he wouldn't get the money if he spoke up. So he'd rather keep his mouth shut, get the money. And so Frekta HaMakna, B'gnevasai V'lai B'kfeilai. What's the case? A Ganiv stole $1,000. He has to pay back $2,000. They caught the Ganiv, they schlep him into Bezin. He only has $1,000. He has nothing, they'll sell him for as a Ganiv. Some is an Evan. Now he owes $2,000 to the Nignav. He owes him $2,000. Nignav wants $2,000. So the Ganiv says, here's $1,000 for what I stole. And the second $1,000, which is Kefil, haha, can they bust a Levic failure? You can't sell me as an Evan. So if the Nignav is smart, what's he going to do? He'll say, haha, on you. Right? He'll say, I took the $1,000 for the Kefil. For the Knas. And now you still owe me the $1,000 for the Geneva, and I will sell you. Why can't he do that? Let him say, I'm taking the $1,000 for the Kefil, and now you have no money left. We'll sell you. You should pay me the Geneva.
Let's say, in a regular case, before the first sale, could he say, I'm selling myself for the Kefil? I owe you $2,000 to carry on the Kefil.
Yeah,
I'm selling myself for the Kefil.
If he wants voluntarily to sell himself, or Meicharatz, he could always sell himself. But he's trying to get out of being sold.
He doesn't want to. He's only Meicharatz because he has to. So it's not like he wants to. He can't sell himself to somebody else. He's not allowed. About the Emunah, about my father. But the other is saying the same thing. He said, I'm buying you for the cable, and we can't reveal it separately. That's the whole thing with it. It's for the neighbor, and you can't do this evidence thing with cable. What am I doing with Karen?
Being the Hogazer Sakasov wouldn't make sense if what I'm saying is true.
It's
the discussion about this, that Velebik Feilai. Well, it's the discussion about this, that Velebik Feilai, therefore.
Therefore, I can only buy an Evan.
So why can't I buy him for the Geneva? Let him pay me for the Kefil and sell himself for the Geneva.
So then he can do it. If he has $1,000 on him.
That's right. The case. That's what Rashi said. There was the big Feilai. Rashi says he has enough money for the Karen, not enough money for the Kefil. Right?
Well, that's after the first sale.
He was never sold. We're not going with him when he sold twice. We're going now, originally. We're talking now, not that he's being sold twice. He comes into Bezin. We schlep the Ganav into Bezin. And he has enough money to pay the Ganav. He was never sold in Evan. The question is, do we sell him? So Gemara says, we don't sell him for Kefil.
And then
it
works like this. Now, for sure, he can't sell him. He can't say, I accepted, I bought you the first time for the Kefil.
There was no first time.
I'm saying in the next case.
I'm not talking like that. I'm talking now here with the shadow. Do we ever sell him in the first place? Are we selling him in the first place? Because he doesn't want to be an Evid. I'm not interested in being an Evid. So he says, I'll pay you for the Geneva, and carefully you can't sell me for it. So we should tell him, well, at least the Nignav should tell him, alright, I'll take the money for the Kefil, and for the Karen will force you to be an Evid.
Both mitzvahs.
We hope nobody will ever keep to do it. None of you guys will ever do a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. That's a pet kefil. It's a separate mitzvah of giving kefil. Two separate mitzvahs. So the question is, if a person could do that. And in the Kunshu Se Shiurim, he says, like Yaakov said, last week we declared, is kefil a separate tashlumin? This din of Karen, this is separate tashlumin of Kefil. We said the Rambam learns, no, it's one thing that for your Geneva you pay double. It's one din that for your Geneva you have to pay double. It's not physically possible to pay the double before you pay the single. They go online now, so they say, give me doubles before you give me singles, right? The first thing you get, no one asks for double, whatever, but you say, give me the doubles before I get the singles, you're going to get the first, you can't get the second. Whatever you get first, that's the first. If you learn, the Maknas Kasha makes sense if you learn Kefil is a separate Knas. this gzayla, this knas. Then it's how it makes sense. But according to the Rambam learns it's all one teshlum and that you have to pay double. So it's not shy to pay the second half first and the first half second. Because whatever you pay first is first, and whatever you pay second is second. So I'm not this kasha falls off. Right, let's learn a little Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Well, Rashi's only saying pshat in the Gemara. The question is why? 100% you can't do it. The question is why? The question is only why. It's 100% that way. The Machna is not arguing. Machna is why. Tarabar. Gineva elef vishava chavish meyais nimkar v'chayze v'nimkar. If he stole 1,000, you sell them twice, 500 each. Gineva chavish meyais vishava elef eini nimkar klal. Because you're making him be sold for more than he was a ganef for. Eliezer Aymer. The Eliezer makes that this whole parsha of Chirus Eved Kamat is like Ben Sairo Meir. It will never happen. It happened once in a million years. The Eliezer says the only time you ever sell a ganiv is if his value as an Eved for 6 years is exactly equal to what he stole. How often is that going to happen? It's not going to happen very often. No? And theoretically, what you could do is wait till a few years before Yovel. Let's say he stole $1,000. For 6 years, he's worth $2,000. So you wait 3 years, and then now you could sell him, because now for 3 years, Yovel in 3 years. So it would be shayach. But if kamat min hanimna, that it'll ever happen. According to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Tadakama, it'll happen. Amar Rava, b'hazik kindu Rabbi Elazar Rabbanon. Rava says, Rabbi Elazar is a good tainu. Ma'ish nogin eva chomish meiz v'shove elef. The mashmois of b'gnei v'asai is for the whole gneiva. So Rava says, Rav Eliezer's mistaver, nafal pikein, we pass like the chachamim, that you are sold. Umaftin I say about karche, what's that going on? That's the difference in Eved Ivri and Am Ivriya. One of the difference was Maftin Oisah Baal Karchai and not Oisai. Now, why does the Gemara have a problem? Because we know there's Giron Kesef, even on an Eved, not only on an Amma. So there is a certain Yitzia Baal Karchai always. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Savar Rava Lameimer Baal Karchai Da'adai. Now, just think for a minute. What does it mean Baal Karchai Da'adai? If you have money, then Sayin Am Evriya, Sayin Eved Ivri goes out Baal Karchai Da'adai. That's Giron Kesef. So what does it mean by karchei da'adin? That it must mean that you go out and you'll owe him the money. So amalei bayim makes no sense. Mind you, the signal is shtar adnei. Right? When I owe you and you go free. Am I? Nokamer ganisa biyadei avimu lechaspa. Is it mistaver? He has an eved. Now you're going to give him a piece of a shtar, a chaspa, a piece of clay that has a promise on it. That's gone. That's nothing. Elom rabbi. No, shat na mishnah is different. What does Baal Karchei Da'av mean? So we have here Machlaikis Rashi Taisvis, Pasha Taich. Baal Karchei Da'av, Rashi learns that the father has to pay his own money to redeem his Amma Vriya. We force him. We just sold her. But if the says that because of the Pagam Mishpacha, the says that if there is a Mishpacha, and Mishpacha considers it a pagam, we force the father to redeem. Taisa says differently. Taisa says, Nokof b'nei ha-mishpacha l'taisa. That we force the b'nei mishpacha. So we have two pshatim in here in Baal Karchei Da'av. Let's learn like Rashi. Baal Karchei Da'av, Mishum b'shpagam mishpacha. We force the father to be paid. In fact, the Gemara Yachi Evir Minami, Nechfinul b'nei mishpacha, Mishum b'gam mishpacha. Now this kasha makes no sense according to Rashi. Bakarchi da'av is what? Bakarchi da'av, the father made money on this thing. He sold it as an Am Evriya. So we say, you made money on it, give the money back. You're doing it at the expense of your family. So we're saying now, just think of the dimyon. Because we're doing it by Bakarchi the father, He made profit on it. He sold something. So he make him give back what he made profit. So because of that, we should force the Bnei Mishpacha to spend money to be paid in heaven. They didn't make money on selling, on this Eved being sold. The Dimi is no Dimi. Follow what I'm asking. The Amor Bria, the father sold her, the father made money. So we tell the father, what? On the back of your Pagam Mishpacha you're selling, give the money back and be paid to her. So that I understand. From there you're going to learn that other relatives have to also be paid in Eved Ivri. Then the Eved Ivri got the money for himself. So why should I force other family members? That makes no sense. So many Mishayim Achrayim asked this kasha. Mashiach asked the kasha. Mashiach says, "A Musa de Keteres." Mashiach says that it's the fault of the Bnei Mishpacha that this man didn't have enough money yet to sell himself for an Eved Ivri. It's Taka Derech Rayis. If you have a relative who doesn't have money, you got to take care of him. A relative who has money, you have to take care of him. That's what Mashiach says. Peasants force the kasha doesn't should force the family. You mean if the family is not tithing Pagam Mishpacha, who's going to force?
The family is going to peasants saying we have no control to force ourselves to
do. Very strange thing for them to do, unless some of the family comes to the tithing on the rest of the family. Maybe I'm not sure. The Marit says an interesting thing. The Marit says things to this kasha. Lashon HaRambam, a father is allowed to sell, if he sells his daughter, it's always chal. But he's only allowed to sell his daughter if he doesn't have enough money for food. So shteit in Rambam. If he's an ani and he can't feed his family, he's allowed to sell his daughter for an amar v'riyah. Otherwise, if he sells, it's chal, but he's not supposed to. The whole reason the Torah gave a father this kayak to sell an amar v'riyah, he can't feed her, so he sells on every year, her life will be easier. So to Marit, Agamara means, when he sold, he was an ani. He's allowed to sell, 100% lechatchila. And we can't force him to be paid the Mishra Begam Mishpacha at that point. Later, if he comes into money, hashir, became wealthier later, at that point, the Gemara is saying, we forced him Mishra Begam Mishpacha. In other words, at the time he sold, he had a rishus to sell him. Later he made money, now we force him to buy back. Now since he had a right to sell her, and now we're forcing him to buy back, it's a good dimyan to Bnei Mishpacha, because we're forcing him to give up his own money, something he has a right to. So it's really his own money. So there we're comparing it to Bnei Mishpacha, that we should force them to. At any rate, the Gemara says it's not so. Hada azul lamaz bin nafshe, what are you going to do? He's going to force the family to be paid in. It's a good deal. He'll keep on selling himself for an Eved, making money, and then they'll have to be paid in. Sachinami hada mazbala, the father will sell her again. After the Gemara, Ketani einan demkeres. Initius amani rib shemini. We have here machlokes. This is always confusing because since there are so many shitas, it's hard to remember what's who and who's what. But the pasuk says lo yimshal lamachra b'big deiva. Father can't do it to his daughter twice. What can't he do to his daughter twice? Machlokes, Tanya. Michael Adam is beating Leishas Vishaina, Leshifchus Vishaina, Leishas Acheshifchus, Avaloy Leshifchus Acherishas. Tanakama holds the only thing he can do is first Ishus and then Shifchus. Shimon Aimer. Cheshad Michael is beating Leshifchus Acherishas, Kan Michael is beating Leshifchus Acheshifchus. You can never sell her to Shifchus if you gave her away before, no matter the first time was Ishus or Shifchus. It will put to the Hani Tanoi, and they argue Pshat Nafas in Titania. The big daiba, kivan shapirish talisa alah shavei mishal lamaich radiv Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva dashes bebigdai lashin beget. Pirish talisa alah agav. This is how we know chuppah is chuppah. The expression pirish talisa alah, it's not the only place you find it. You find it, as a matter of fact, in the pasuk by Rus. Pirish talisa alah is how we know that the sun is chuppah. But Kivish Pirish Talisei Alei, he married her off, Shovei Mishai Lamaichri. He can't sell her again, Devar Bekiva. Malaz Aime, Bebigdai Baal, Kivish Abagai Baal, Lashon of Rebellion, Ein Mishai Lamaichri. Marka Miflagi, Rebbe Liaz Yisavi Yashem of Messiris, Rebbe Kiva Savi Yashem of Mikra, Yudashim Beged, or Bagad. Rebbe Shiva Savi Yashem of Mikra, Ulu Messiris, Dashim Baal. What's the Messiris business here? So it seems, Taisa says, Bebigdai Baal, if it means a Beged, it should be Beg Yud Gimel Dalit. Big daiba. If it means rebelling, then it's good. least in the beginning of Taisus. The big dabar beged should be spelled beis yud gimel dalet vav. The Taisus says he never found it anywhere in Tanakh that you spell the big day with a yud. Yosefus here he spelled the big day with a yud. So Taisus says something which I think is a very big yisaid. The beginning of Taisus of Eliezer, just the first five lines. It's rebellion. Should have been beis yud gimel. In fact, Taisus Abagav the cause of this say of big day below yud. I think this Taisus is probably the makar for something I heard from Rav Palm when we were learning. We were going through the dinim of how to fill in a name in a ksuba. What's the rule? When in Hebrew, when is a word malay and when is it chaser? When is a word that has a chaylam? When does it have a vav? And when doesn't it have a vav? Right. What's the rule? How come some words Yaakov is spelled always without a vav, almost always with a vav? No Yaakov, there's no vav between the kuf and the vav. Right? There's nothing there. Certain names always do have it. What's an example? Shalom. Shalom always has a vav after the lamed. Shem la vav mem. So shalom is spelled without a vav. Right? When does a chaylum get a vav and when doesn't it get a vav? Now, the truth is, when something is spelled a certain way in the Torah, we always spell it that way. Even though people like Pinchas and Ksuvu write Pei Yud Nun, Chesamach, even though most people spell it with a Yud when you write Pinchas, most people write Pei Nun. But the Torah it's Pei Yud Nun, Chesamach, that's the correct way. If it's spelled a certain way in the Torah, we always spell it that way. But otherwise, what's the rule? So, Pam told me the rule is, when you can confuse it with a different word, but it can be confused with a different word, you put in the vav. Like shalom without the vav is shalom. So if it could be a different word, so then you stick in the vav. The word kail, voice, kail, is always spelled with a vav. Right? The word kail with a kaf, kail on the shamat al kaf, spelled without a vav. What's the difference? So kail without a vav is kal, it's a different word. Ikalamiti, you can think it's a different word, you stick in the vav. The word koil with a kaf, we can't make a mistake, what else does it mean? So therefore it's always spelled without a vav. That's the rule. I once, night before a wedding, I got a call, somebody was very nervous about his ksuba, he brought the ksuba beforehand, I should fill in it ahead of time. So I filled in ahead of time. So his father called me. Father says he spelled both my names wrong. He spelled both your names wrong. He said his name was Yisachar Daiv. I spelled Yisachar with one sin, not two. I spelled Daiv without a vav. So I spelled both names wrong. I should correct it. So I told him, when your oldest son got married, Rav Palm was still alive, take a look at how he spelled it in the Ksuba. But the oldest son spelled the same way. Yisachar is spelled with one sin. It's Chubas Nagib Yehuda. I had a get that was spelled with two sins. He wanted even possible to be edit. The machlok is about Yisachar, because we don't pronounce Yisachar, we pronounce Yisachar. So it's one sin. And Daiv is Rapam's rule. There are those who spell Daiv with a vav. Rapam spelled without a vav. He said that Daiv, what other word is it? No other word. Daiv. So some time in that Daiv without the vav, you could think it means a beer, a Daiv. But Pashtus, the name Daiv does come from the name Daiv. It's not such a joke. The Aruch HaShulchan says you could think it means a beer, so you should stick in the vav. Rapam held that no, Daiv is Daiv, it's the same Daiv. I mean, there are a lot of names that have right names like Aryeh or Tzvi. Spelled without a vav. So this Taisus, L'chair, I mean, Rapam didn't tell me any Taisus, and I mean, he told me this. But L'chair, this Taisus is the Makar, the Lekalamiti. When it's Ikalamiti, you have to stick in the Malay, the Yod or the Vav. When it's Lekalamiti, so you don't stick it in. Always says it too. So look at that Bihuda, I don't remember the Shaka Vitaria, but Ramaisa with these things.